Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is
1-888-627-6008.
So you can easily mess up those eights.
I certainly could.
Yeah. Maybe we should change the phone number.
Well, this is The Gathering and our discussion show. That was Tom Gould you heard, and he's sitting next to Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg, and I'm Bob. And tonight our topic is getting through the holidays, not our normal discussion, but let's face it, quite a number of people that are members of the foundation and listen to the show are bereaved in some fashion, and getting through the holidays is always a challenge. So, fortunately, I think we have some guests that are calling in tonight that can lend some expertise to this. And before we get rolling here, Fran, bring us up to date on what's going on.
Okay, so first we want all of our listeners to, while they're listening to this show, open up another browser and sign in to the Holidays Past raffle, where you can win one of five media. You can actually win all five.
All five.
If you buy more than one ticket. And so the way it goes is that a number is assigned to each entry that you purchase. And then out of all of those random numbers, we use a random number generator to select five winners. And those five people will each win a one-hour medium reading. The drawing is on December 23rd, and our mediums are Tracy Lee Nash, Doc Neil Zapowski, Nancy Marlowe, Destin Livers, or Kathy Towle. And we also want you, while you're on the Internet, to sign up for our next webinar, How Karma Plays Out in the Afterlife, What Our Spirit Friends Are Telling Us. And that's with our own Forever Family Foundation Academic Advisory Board member, Dr. Stafford Betty, and that will be on Tuesday, February 9th. All the details are on our events page, and please follow the directions when you reserve your seats. Once you register and pay, your registration will go through an approval process, and then you will receive an email with your links to tune in to the webinar. We've also discounted the $20 seats to $5 for our members only, and watch for additional webinars as they're posted on the FFS events page. Our Florida members and those planning to be in Florida next week, make sure you make your way to Miami on Friday, November 13th, for an evening of spirit communication with certified medium Joanne Gerber. There are only 10 seats left to this event. Our annual Holidays Past events include two venues this year. Joanne Gerber will be in Natick, Massachusetts, and Joe Scheel teams up with Janet Nohavik in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. Both events are on December 12th. And because of a waiting list for our Last Dessert and Discarnates event, we've added one more before the end of the year. So grab one of the only, I think there's only a few seats left of the 12 seats, because that's all we're going to have. It's 12 people, one medium, on Friday, December 13th in Oceanside. The medium is Angelina Diana. And finally, please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donations button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional nonprofits enjoy. Bob?
What was the date on that again?
Which one?
The dessert and the
December 18th.
18th, oh, I'm
sorry. Friday night.
Yeah, I thought you said 13th.
I'm sorry.
So we're going to be talking about why the holidays are difficult and getting through the holidays. And I guess that's a good place to start is if somebody has lost a loved one, what are some of the reasons that people find it difficult to get through the holidays? I mean, obviously everybody here in this room, you know, has lost someone.
I think traditions, the change in the tradition.
Yeah, that's a big one. It's something that you did all the time in a certain way, and now one person is not there. I remember at the beginning saying, what's the difference? I mean, every day sucks, so, you know, like, what is the holiday? But obviously, you know, things change as things go along, but...
Well, I think the fact that it's the holiday makes it an especially terrible day. Like, all the days are hard. That
right.
makes it especially hard, because now you're dealing with that other pent-up stuff that, you know, you've been trying to teach yourself to control on all these quote-unquote normal days, and now you've got the holiday, which symbolizes a time when family gets together, when you're getting together with all of these people, and now you can't.
Mm. And often, the holidays are stressful without it. Anyway, before we lost somebody, the holidays are
That's
stressful.
True. Yeah, that's true. I think that also holidays we think of as celebrations. So in a way, a lot of people, you know, feel guilty about celebrating when, and at least in their minds, you know, they shouldn't be. You know, I mean, there's that guilt, you know, part of it.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many readings I've sat through. In fact, Kim had one at CW Post last week where the medium will come over and say, and you don't celebrate the holidays anymore? You used to be, you know, the holiday person with the decorations, and you haven't put up decorations in years. And Spirit on the other side is telling you, put up those decorations. Don't stop.
Right.
And that's usually the message that comes through.
And when I hear things like that, and you're right, I wonder... So if there's no space and time on the other side, I don't think there are any calendars. How do they know? I mean, and you know, we know they come through on special days, like on birthdays and anniversaries, whatever. But I guess
I think they pick that up from our energy.
Yeah,
like
the
birthday's coming, the dreaded holidays are coming.
Yeah, even though they don't have time, they understand our recognition
action.
Of it, or our need for having it, and that sort of thing. So they understand much better than we understand.
Yeah, I think they talk about that in that book, the Unobstructed Universe, where they talk about it from a scientific point of view of there not being time and space over there, and that. But they do recognize all of the obstacles that we have in the physical world that they can see and appreciate, but they don't have to abide by them. We do.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, we were last week, Laura Lynn Jackson had a book signing at the Book Review in Huntington, and she had a question and answer, and somebody asked her about reincarnation, and how can you reincarnate, and when can you do that, and does it ever overlap? And Laura Lynn quite eloquently said, you know, there is no time, so everything basically happens at once. So you can live 4 or 5 or 12 or 100 lifetimes at the same time, basically.
Right, and there's some sort of... Sometimes we have bleed overs, we don't quite know, understand it, or recognize it at the time.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's there.
I think that's where our deja vu comes from.
Yeah, very
possibly.
It could be.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, there are all sorts of books written about advice, you know, and coping, you know. And one of them that makes a lot of sense is that if you're unhealthy, if you feel... unhappy about the holiday because of a tradition, you don't want to so start a new tradition. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Just start it all, you know, just do something else, you know.
Yeah.
find a new way of getting through that day, and eventually that may become a meaningful thing, especially if that new tradition has something to do with your loved one on the other side, whether that be volunteering in their name or a special project or a garden or something along those lines. I know we're going to take calls. We're going to go to a break.
I'm going to go to a break first.
And we'll go to a break, and we'll come back, and we'll take calls. I think we have some special guests that are calling in. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken, even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Thank you.
And welcome back to The Gathering. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about ways that we can help to cope to get through the holidays. And on our line is somebody that knows a bit about it, Doreen Malloy. And Doreen, as you're probably familiar with, she hosts a Mediums and Messages show. She's a certified medium of her Forever Family Foundation, and she's also a grief recovery specialist. So, Doreen, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
My pleasure to be here.
So we were talking a little bit about, you know, ways people get through the holidays, and we were talking about some of the reasons that it's difficult, and traditions and celebrations. But what about as a medium? The mediums who have lost family members think the same way as the rest of us at holidays? I mean, do a lot of mediums try to avoid holidays or don't look forward to it?
You know, Bob, it's the same for us as it is for anyone else. I always say the first year that you're going through the holidays is probably the worst. So if you've lost somebody during the course of the year, once that holiday time comes around, it's just challenging. It's difficult. The problem is that, and the reason why it's the same for us, even though we do this work and we know there's continuation of consciousness, you know, survival of consciousness after physical death, we miss them. It's as plain as simple as that. You know, we're going through our own grief process, and grief is really never an intellectual process. It's an emotional one. You know, so we're going to feel that same emotional loss that everyone else is going to feel. And quite honestly, I mean, the holidays are very, very difficult. Birthdays, quite honestly, aren't much better. Anniversaries come around, you know. So any special day of the year is going to trigger us to really feel our grief even deeper, you know. Mm. But the holidays tend to be really, really difficult.
Yeah. Do you find that people, you know, cope in different ways? Like, for instance, I know some people, like, they'll sit around a holiday table and they'll set an empty chair, you know, for their loved one. And others would find that extremely, you know, painful, you know, to do. So in your work, do you see a wide array of coping mechanisms among people?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody has to deal with their grief in their own way. It's not the same for all of us, you know. It's really a very unique experience. And the same thing goes for the time period. You know, we don't all grieve within the same time frame. You know, some people it takes a little bit longer. Others, you know, maybe we're a little bit more prepared for something, and so we can move through that process a little bit quicker. I kind of actually like the idea of setting a chair for someone around the table, whether or not you do that physically or not. Basically, what it represents for me is that you're really celebrating someone's life. It's about family coming together, sharing memories, not just, you know, being sad or, you know, experiencing the loss, but also remembering the good things and the funny things, you know, and increasing everyone's stories, you know, by sharing with each other, bringing photos and sharing those with each other. So it's really more about celebrating someone's life instead of just mourning their death. We're going to mourn their death. We're going to feel that loss no matter what. But there are some things that we can do, you know, that it's just going to make the process a little bit easier to get through during those holiday times. You know, Thanksgiving, think about Thanksgiving, right? It's traditionally the gathering together of family around the dinner table. So, you know, that loss is really felt very deeply, you know, by most of us when we've had a loss. So celebrating someone's life is a great idea. And also another way that kind of helps to ease that pain a little bit is to kind of change the routine, you know. If the tradition in someone's family has always been, for instance, to go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving dinner every year, you know, and everyone brings a plate, but grandma passed away recently, then maybe somebody else can host. You know, someone else can host dinner, or maybe even go out for dinner. You know, a lot of people actually opt for that. So there are ways to just kind of change the routine also that doesn't make you feel the impact of that loss quite as deeply as if you done, you know, had done the same thing every year. So, you know, it's small changes, really.
Fran, you said
very, very small changes.
All right. Well, you know what I want to ask you? A lot of people have told us that when they go to these gatherings, you know, holiday time, and obviously there's going to be a lot of friends and family. And friends and family very often are afraid to bring up the fact that this loved one is gone because they don't want to upset you. And then so then the person who's bereaved gets even more upset because they feel that their loved one is not being acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is that...
Right, of course.
Yeah.
I think it can be very sensitive sometimes because oftentimes people don't know what to say or what not to say. You know, they don't know what to do. I would say the best advice I could give is to really be authentic about how you feel. So if you're thinking about your loved one, you know, maybe share a memory that's going to be impactful for everybody. Everybody can relate to it. One of the ways that it makes that, it softens it a little bit, it makes it a little bit easier, if you share something that's actually funny. A funny story, a funny incident, where sometimes, you know, everybody kind of remembers what that incident was, or maybe there's some pictures, you know, old photos hanging around. It kind of softens it because it's not just talking about the fact that, you know, you're expressing your loss or that you're missing someone, but you're also making everybody else smile. So it's kind of a way of easing into a conversation. And you might be very surprised if you did that because one person telling a story triggers other people to kind of chime in, you know, and it lightens it just a little bit. And that, honest to God, is one of the easiest ways to celebrate someone's life. You know, is to just kind of share in those stories. And yes, it might be a little bit hard to break the ice, but, you know, kind of somebody has to do that. Maybe start out with a toast, okay? And everyone, you know, sharing in that toast to your loved one, and then maybe followed by a story, you know, something that's going to be meaningful for everyone around the table. But there are ways to kind of break into those conversations. I would just recommend to people not to be afraid to do that. You know, you're going to feel the pain of loss, but it doesn't mean that you have to not share memories or, you know, that certainly doesn't mean that you don't want to remember your loved one. What we want to forget is the pain that's associated with a loss through death. You know, that part we want to forget. But we're never going to forget them. So that's not going to happen.
Doreen, it's Melissa. Hi. I really love those questions. And thinking of that, you know, perhaps being at a gathering and bringing up, you know, if it's not maybe the loss that's closest to you, but the person who has had the significant loss, and asking them to recall, you know, or share a happy memory or funny memory. And for Tom and I think the one that comes up most often, it was after his dad had passed away, and there wasn't too much to make his mom smile at that point. But at Christmas time, we got her something that I knew she really wanted, but she didn't think it existed. It was a heated toilet seat. And this is something she found very difficult, to get up at night and use the bathroom and sit down on an ice-cold toilet seat. So lo and behold, we found one for her. And the laughter, I don't think she stopped laughing for 5 minutes. I don't think she could even talk for 5 minutes. So every Christmas we talk about, remember the year we gave Mom a heated toilet seat?
Well, listen, the holidays are coming, and I really would like a... I would appreciate it.
All right, we'll keep that. So those are great suggestions, Doreen.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we want to remember their lives. We don't want to just mourn their loss, you know, the loss of them. And it really helps, you know, to do that. It helps to just kind of, somebody has to start the conversation. The other thing is, another thing to do is to maybe raise money, raise awareness in your loved one's name, maybe donate to a charity. I know a lot of people, rather than sitting around the dinner table because they don't feel like celebrating, maybe they want to donate their time at a soup kitchen or they want to help out somewhere at a community service or something. It's another way that people can kind of get through holiday time. You have to remember, holidays, what are they equal? Celebrating, right? And what's the last thing we want to do if we've lost someone? Last thing we want to do is celebrate, you know? So it's just about finding, I think, other ways of channeling what we're feeling so that it comes out kind of in a positive way and we can really kind of do something with that instead of just isolating or staying home or just really feeling awful, you know? But yeah, holidays are tough. It's a tough time of year for all of us.
And I guess the best advice is that I'm sure you tell people is not to do anything that they really don't feel comfortable doing, right? I mean, if you don't feel like going to a gathering, don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be
absolutely
forced.
Well, you shouldn't. It's not about really the celebration part of it, because the other part of that, Bob, is isolation is actually the worst thing for a griever. You know, in the grief recovery program, they teach about like 6 myths that most of us are very familiar with. And if you want, I'll run through them real quick because that's one of them.
Okay, sure.
But the first one they tell you is don't feel bad, which is kind of like the same as saying don't feel what you really feel. You know, and this really comes back to that whole notion of being authentic. You know, how many times have, you know, we ask somebody, we know they're feeling bad. We know they've had a recent loss and they're feeling it very deeply. And, you know, we'll kind of come up to them and we'll say, how you doing today? And the instant response from a lot of people are, I'm fine. And they're really anything but fine, you know. But it's a trigger mechanism with us. So really, it's so important to just kind of be authentic about what you're really feeling. The second myth they teach about is replace the loss. Now, it's not even possible to replace a loss, but very oftentimes people think that there are ways to just kind of do something else that's going to take away that pain. They tell a story in the grief recovery handbook about a little boy named Johnny who had been given a puppy as a toddler. And when he was about 12 years old, his dog died. And he was absolutely beside himself with grief. And his dad, who would have done absolutely anything to take away his son's pain, turned to him and he said, I'm so sorry, Johnny. We loved him too, but don't feel bad. We'll get you a new dog on Saturday. So there's a perfect example. Dad was really well-intentioned by saying that, but we can never, ever, ever replace the loss. The third myth on the list is grieve alone. So this is what I mentioned before about isolation being the worst possible thing for a griever, okay? And sometimes we don't know, you know, where do we draw the line with that? Like, we do need to sometimes allow people to rest. You know, we need to let them take a nap or just kind of give them a little bit of space. But resting or sleeping is really not the same thing as isolating. You know, I think of isolation more like somebody who won't leave the house and they're kind of curled up in a ball in the corner of the room and they won't turn the lights on. That's different than taking a nap or, you know, or getting some sleep. So grievers absolutely need to be with other people. Okay, number 4 on the list is that expression, just give it time. So absolutely everybody has heard that saying, time heals all wounds, right?
Right.
But the passage of time alone really does not eliminate grief. The Grief Recovery Institute really tries to help people understand that it's an action program. So we've got to take kind of actions that are going to help us to move through our process, whatever that is, because, again, it's going to be a little bit different, you know, for each of us. But it's about taking certain actions, which is what makes the Grief Recovery Handbook so interesting, you know, because it's got all kinds of exercises in it and actions that you can take. Number 5 myth is be strong for others. So this is kind of that stiff upper lip mentality, you know, because we don't want the kids to see us crying. The truth of the matter is, when you're grieving, you don't feel strong. You know, you don't feel good at all. You feel tired. You might be depressed. It might be affecting you in a very physical way as well. So the thing is that you really don't need to put on an act with that. Again, this goes back to being authentic. So if somebody says, "How are you doing today?" you don't have to say, "I'm fine." You know, you could say, "Well, I've had better days," or "I'm not doing so good," you know, or something even deeper than that. And then, of course, the last myth on the list is keep busy. So at the end of the day, if you work two jobs, you're actually going to be just twice as tired, but you're still going to be grieving. And the reason why is because busyness is just a distraction. It really doesn't alter what you feel. You know, you'll get a lot done. You may end up very exhausted, but at the end of the day, your heart's still going to be broken. So it doesn't matter how busy you are. So those are the six myths that they teach about. And so we want to really be mindful of that. It's really good for people to kind of be in touch with that. That's in the Grief Recovery Handbook, by the way. They cover all that.
Yeah.
And it really kind of helps us to get through these really challenging times, especially a time like, you know, around the holidays. This is like having a tool in your toolbox. So you have some ways of just kind of moving through that process in whatever way is going to work for you.
Yeah, I think that those are valuable things outlined. I mean, I can relate to a lot of the myths, especially the fifth one where people used to say, "Well, you got to be strong," and I just wanted to say, "Kiss my ass."
Right. Exactly. And see, that's being authentic, and you really have to give yourself permission to do that, and it's okay. It's just okay to be authentic about it. You know?
Right. Well, Doreen, thanks so much for calling in and lending your expertise. I mean, I'm sure that's helpful to a lot of people. And our listeners, you can listen to Doreen on the Mediums and Messages show every Thursday night on Signs of Life. And
Third Thursday.
What did I say?
Every Thursday night.
Thursday
he wants to give me more jobs.
Taking over our show. Third Thursday. And, of course, her website is DoreenMalloy.com. Thanks so much, Doreen, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure. Have a great night, guys.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Could you guys relate to those myths? Well, definitely.
I know. It was, we had our daughter's our daughter lost her mother-in-law. It was several months before Christmas, but it was a big concern in the family what the spouse was going to be doing, what her father-in-law would be doing that first Christmas because of all the traditions that they had. And he lived on the West Coast, we lived on the East Coast. So the first thing seemed like, let's have him come to the East Coast. Let's have him do something completely different.
Right.
It was really hard for him. He probably hadn't. This is a fellow in his 60s who had been with his wife since he was 17, and this was his first Christmas without her by his side. One of the things he did, which helped a lot, was he has a lot of friends around the world. With his work and his travels. So at a set time, I believe on East Coast time, it was 11 o'clock in the morning, and at the various times around the world, everyone was going to light a candle in her memory. So we all gathered in my home, those of us that were here on the East Coast and his West Coast friends, and as I said, everyone around the world, so we all lit candles. And the part about he wanted to be alone, and it was really hard to honor that because he really just wanted to spend the day sitting with these candles.
Right.
And I could see the things that Doreen said. You know, it's difficult because we didn't want to intrude, but we knew he shouldn't be alone. And I think even when dinner time came, and now we were all going over to my sister's house, he didn't want to go, and he had a splitting headache besides, which he'd never had before, but I wasn't surprised given the situation, and he just didn't want to go, and, you know, the rest of us went off, and then I think soon after he called his son to come get him, and he was ready to join us, and he was really glad he did, but it's touchy. You don't want to be too pushy, but you know that...
And even these things we're talking about, I mean, they're suggestions, and they've been helpful before, but there's no there's no hard and fast rule. Sometimes you just have to fly by the seat of your pants, on these things. So we're going to go for a break now. When we come back, you're welcome to call in with your suggestions, and we might have some other callers that have some expertise, and we'll get into some more of these coping mechanisms. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And we're talking a little bit different tonight, not necessarily about the afterlife, although it certainly works its way into it. But we're talking about the holidays. It's holidays time. Thanksgiving is around the corner, Christmas and New Year's, and we know that people who have lost loved ones have a difficult time during this time. You know, as I say that, we always say lost loved ones.
Yeah.
We really shouldn't be saying
that.
Dave makes a point of saying they're not lost. We know exactly where they are. They're right here.
There's another example of a habit that you
close
just...
Close the old,
right. Exactly.
Right, and cultural acceptance of how you should phrase things.
Right.
Well, I mean, yes, and I Dave is absolutely right, and in fact, you know, in all this discussion of grief, the best remedy I've seen for grief is to know and accept that your loved ones are not gone necessarily, that you will see them again. However, yes, you've lost them out of your life. You know, you wake up in the morning, they're not there. You get some great news, you want to pick up the phone and call them, you can't. you know, you need a hug and you want to hug them, you can't. So, yeah, you've lost that. You haven't lost the loved one or the love going both ways.
Right.
But, yes, you know, there is a loss. So, you know, Dave is excellent at what he does in his presentations. But, you know, it's an arguable point to use the word loss.
If we looked up the definition of lost, would it say something you can't find or something misplaced?
I don't know.
Tom, this point is right on, that we lost the physical, you know. That we did lose.
We have lost.
But we didn't lose the love, and we didn't lose the emotion, you know. We lose the memory, you know. So that continues on. What's most important is that it's not just memories that continue on, it's them that continue on.
Yeah.
You know? So you, Melissa, were mentioning while we were on break, and maybe we could talk a little bit about that, about this the grief myth, you know, that keeping busy, you know, will help. And you were saying that, you know, there are some advantages, you know, to keeping busy because it gives you that much more time when you're not suffering,
right,
so to speak. And I remember much to Fran's dismay, is that I was playing online poker, and I was doing it more so, you know, I could go through like 2 hours in a tournament, and then all of a sudden say, wow, that 2 hours, I went a whole 2 hours without beating myself up, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then I look forward to that now. And oddly enough, when I went to, when we used to go to a grief support thing, which didn't last too long, we found out that by far, I'd say 90% of the people, you know where they went on a holiday, every holiday, Christmas? They went to Atlantic City. You know, and I asked why.
Some casino.
Yeah. And because there's no time in the casino. There are no clocks.
There's no windows.
There's action. And you just lose yourself,
wow,
you know. You know, and so there's no, and that goes in also.
Kind of like being on the other side.
There's no celebration. You know, there's no pressure, you know. Now, obviously, that's not good advice for a lot of people, but surprisingly for a lot of people, it was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I do agree.
Why
with
don't we open an afterlife casino? Get it both.
All you.
I don't know how.
Journey now.
I don't think it's a great time to open a casino. They're closing a lot.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Although the Native Americans seem, the casinos, I think all the casinos seem to be hurting for whatever reason. I guess now maybe the economy is better, they'll be back again.
I think probably Doreen's point more was the busyness as far as physical exertion, and then you're just, as she said, more tired. But doing things like Bob said, you know, maybe doing extra holiday baking or something that's not too taxing but does take your mind.
There's something
away.
Mindless, you know,
yeah.
It's sort of a diversion. As Bob says, I mean, I remember coming out of surgery, and while the healing process, which was a month long, I just set the goal. I just want to go through one day without pain, and it took a month, but I remember that one day, and I go, wow, you know, I've done it, one day without pain. And I guess what that will translate into advice is don't set little goals.
Yeah.
You know, don't say, I want to wake up tomorrow and not be grieving anymore, because that's just never going to happen. You're always going to miss that person, especially if they were very close to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, set little goals. You know, like Bob said, I've gone 2 hours without beating himself up,
mm-hmm.
and that's what will help
it's
you.
Something to build on, you know.
Yeah.
If I could do those two, I could do, you know. You know, you start to fill in some of the darkness with light in various ways. You know, that's what we're talking about, ways to fill the darkness with light, which could be volunteering. I mean, another suggestion that people have is especially if you, a lot of people don't know what to do with their loved one's clothes. It's an issue. Some people, you know, pack them up and get rid of it right away. Some people, you know, stay for decades, you know, with the clothes. So maybe that's a suggestion, too, on the holidays. Pack up the clothes, give it to somebody needy that needs them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one suggestion. But anything that I think that we can integrate our loved ones as part of the process, would be helpful. I was looking online. I mean, Doreen obviously has some excellent, points, and I was looking at some of these other suggestions. Maybe we could talk about some of them. One, I think we did already, lighting a candle in your loved one's memory. That doesn't have to be a holiday. We do that all the time.
Right. We even suggest sometimes that it become a daily ritual. Mm-hmm. Light the candle, bring in the light, and start talking out loud to the person.
Right.
It really does help to vocalize how you're feeling, even if you're talking to that person. We know they're still there.
Yeah.
So using that as an exercise is something that is kind of almost convincing your mind that you are having the conversation with them. And who knows, they may answer.
Well, actually, to that point, Melissa bought this little turtle that you plug in and it lights up, and it's a nice sort of glow on the shell. And she didn't tell anybody this, but she attributed that turtle to my dad after he passed, and she would go and pet it and say hi to dad. And
I still do.
And we were having a reading one night, my mom was having a reading, somebody was having a reading, and the loved one came through and said, I appreciate what you did with the turtle. My dad came through and said that, yeah, I know that you're doing that, and I appreciate it. So, yes, when you say you're still talking to them, you're absolutely still talking to them.
Right. And what you do, Melissa, is for obvious reasons, is helpful with the hugs from heaven. I mean, if you don't know what to do with your loved one's clothing, our listeners might know Melissa is artistically inclined, and she takes clothing and makes quilts and pillows and hugs, which are, I don't know,
a shawl that hugs you back.
But yeah. But it has significance because not only do you feel the pressure, but sometimes it's as if your loved one is there with you. So a lot of people find that.
And people could do that themselves. They don't need me to do it. If they can sew a little bit, they can. I mean, at the very least, maybe take the pillowcase that your loved one always used, put as many favorite clothing items as you can into that pillowcase, and hug that. I think that would be the simplest thing for anybody. You could turn it into something more long-lasting and attractive that you might want out, but I think having a pillow to hug and the weight of it, once you stuff it with the clothes, it's going to feel like a physical body.
Right.
And it will absorb a lot of tears.
Yeah.
Now, people have different points of view on, bringing out photo albums, like during holidays and looking at all the photos and maybe videos or old movies. Mm. And I know a lot of people find that really helpful because, especially in a group, because everybody gets to sort of relive, the experiences they had. I was never able to do that. Maybe I was in the minority, but I always found that too painful. But I certainly understand. And Fran was the opposite, and she would find.
I took every picture that I could possibly find, and it was about 1,500 pictures I found, and I spent the whole day. Of course, this was how many years ago? Scanners were like flatbeds, and you had to open them up, and each picture I put into the thing, scanned it, put it up on the computer, wrote a little something about it, put the date on it, and that's what I did for days and days and days.
Wow.
But it was therapeutic, and it was wonderful to put it in order and watch, how she grew from being born all the way to when she passed.
And I still think every time we think of our loved ones on the other side, it's helping them evolve. I really do. I think that they feel that love. And so
I agree
at least 1,500 plus moments.
Right.
You've evolved.
Well, that's a constant theme. And we've heard, and even Laura Lynn mentioned it last week as well, is that love is the commodity. And the more you love your loved ones who have passed, as Melissa says, you're giving them energy on the other side, and right. And it's coming back to you as well.
I saw there was another suggestion of at these gatherings is to include your loved one's favorite dish or make the favorite meal.
If
they're paying attention, they're going to appreciate that.
Oh.
You know,
we did that with some of Tom's mom's favorite recipes. But they must have been Depression-era desserts or something because they were the most flavorless, odd things, and yet she would rave about them. So when I finally made them, I was like, really? This is what you craved?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, listen, that's been going on for centuries, where you toast, you know, you have the toast. And we've done that at gatherings where people toast, you know, your loved one, and I always thought that was cool.
I like that.
Yeah, you do like that.
You do that too.
Yeah.
So you know, that's the thing. If they're paying attention, and all the evidence says that they are, you know, they're coming through at different times that are important. They're making things happen. You know, I mean, so if you're making their favorite dish, they may be eating it along with you.
And I liked having out, you know, not only setting the place for them, but having their photograph out. I remember that Christmas we had our daughter's mother-in-law's picture, just on one of those little photo stands, and I just kept moving her around. You know, she was with me in the kitchen. She was on the dining room table. She was around the tree when we were celebrating Christmas. So it was.
Yeah. Well, and it also we've talked about that, but you know, you go through the profound, you know, grief, and then you eventually your time comes, and then you see that you still survive, and then you say, you kick yourself saying, what an idiot, all those years. But you also see that now you can look back sort of across the veil and see what's going on. So,
well, I think that's where we get it all mixed up. Because we've evolved into a culture that has created this huge grief situation that we go, and we just seem to be making it worse and worse and worse. But if we go back in time, there are many ancient cultures that celebrated the crossing over because you got to go back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and, so, and there was no Prozac and all that stuff, right?
Well, I still think that's true. I mean, from readings that we've had and messages I've got back, that you know they're having a blast over there. It's so much more fun. There's no pain. There's no encumbrances. There's no getting old. Everything happens as fast as you want. Like you say, you can enjoy them. There's one reading where my father said, "Well, that's it for the reading. You see that jet ski out there? I'm going to go and ride on that jet ski. The guy, I can ride all day. The guy doesn't even know it."
You know? Right. And they're saying, look at these people. They're talking about grief tips. You know, grief is an illusion. There's no grief. It's just, we don't grieve. You know, it's a physical.
But again, you know, we're shedding our tears for ourselves.
Right.
We're the ones who are missing the person. And that's the bottom line and what we're dealing with and trying to help people with.
Exactly. And
we're ready to wrap us up
now.
Okay, so now we're going to ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind. As we visualize the healing light upon Eddie Roll, Tom Donahue, Tim Donahue, Andrea, Richard, Brian, Karen, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Stanley Newland, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lapata, Wendy Lippo, Doug Berry, Philip McPhee, Denise, Joe Nadal, Karen Gould, Lisa, Carol Wasick, Kay Malloy, Donald Peterson, Pat Drance, Ala, Johnny Boo, Judy Pernick, Donna Mello, David Mello, Matt Mello, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel Skandarian, Miriam Pierzga, Julie Beischel, Ann Hutchinson, David Haith, Rita Springer, Vicky Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Erica Betty Kovach, and Joanne Gerber. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.